252 DR Oshkosh and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. Two batches of classified documents found in private locations connected to President Biden, now the focus of a Justice Department independent counsel investigation. One said found in the garage of Biden's Delaware home.
Well, it's incredible, actually, with all the talking that they did.
That's the reaction of former President Trump in an interview on the Mark Levin radio show Thursday. Trump also had classified documents found at his Florida estate and was forced to turn them over during a raid. And an update on the case of a 6-year-old boy in Virginia who shot his teacher in an elementary school classroom. The superintendent told parents in a town hall last night that the student's backpack was searched after they got a tip he may have had a weapon. The school district also says it will install metal detectors at all of its schools, not just middle and high schools, after the shooting. This is ABC News. Actor Alec Baldwin should learn in the next couple of weeks whether he'll be charged with a crime in the killing of a woman on a New Mexico movie set in 2021. ABC's Jim Ryan.
No one has suggested that Alec Baldwin intentionally shot cinematographer Helena Hutchins on the set of Rust. But Santa Fe County District Attorney Mary Carmack Altuiz says criminal charges might still be filed.
If the circumstances warrant it, absolutely.
New Mexico Attorney John Day says
charges in this case conceivably could range from misdemeanor, negligent use of firearms, all the way up to involuntary manslaughter.
The DA says she'll have an announcement by the end of January. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
The European Union has a new launch pad for sending up orbital satellites. Sweden's King Carl Gustaf inaugurated the Esrange Space Center in Scandinavia's far north, making it the EU's first mainland launch facility. Esrange Space Center is expected to start rocket launches next year. Justin Finch, ABC News.
We are the Fox River Valley's home for news, talk, and sports. Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, WISS 1100 AM, always on the Civic Media app.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and the Brewers. We are Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, WISS 1100 AM, always on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. The TikTok social media app is now banned on Wisconsin state government computers, cell phones, and other devices. Officials are concerned TikTok's Chinese owners can track American users and get a hold of their data. Governor Evers says he made the decision after talking with the FBI, Homeland Security, and cybersecurity experts. Too much winter road salt is bad for drinking water as well as lakes, rivers, and streams. That's according to the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. The group Wisconsin Saltwise says 1 teaspoon of salt can make 5 gallons of water toxic for freshwater fish and other organisms. Wisconsin Salt Awareness Week is the 23rd through the 27th. In sports, the Bucks fell to Miami last night 108-102. You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, WISS 1100 AM.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. We're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you...
And you could be me?
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way...
To get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Women get a lot of advice about self-care these days, but one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
From Portage to Appleton, your news, talk, and sports station is Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, WISS 1100 AM, always on the Civic Media app.
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Tribulation, but I know God. Satan wanna put me in a bow tie.
Pray that the holy water don't go dry.
The Earl Ingram Show, as always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with Sandy Williams. You know, Sandy, what Dave was talking about, and then we'll move on. Yes, there's so many different things, and you and I have been talking about this, seems like forever, where our nation has failed to plan in so many different areas.
Well, this is different, I think, than not planning, because I think what's happening is there's a direct assault on the competence of government, and there's the strangulation. It started with Grover Norquist in the Reagan period before that, where there's this direct assault on government where it's kind of purposefully done to remove funding and make it less able for make government less able to deliver its service well. So they've done that in OSHA areas, they've done that in EPA areas, and there's been this assault.
FDA.
And so now, but the savings of money that has occurred has been sort of across the board. FAA. The FAA was sort of incompetent in the way they were dealing with the Dreamliner with Boeing. The FDA has had problems with respect to its performance and how competent it's been. This FAA failure is clearly a demonstration, at least, of a failure of infrastructure. And that failure suggests that were there to be a willful attack, essentially, by outsiders to try and hobble our transportation system through hacking, that it would be apparently achievable, you know, because it only took the failure of a couple of systems at the FAA to ground all of our airplanes.
You know, Sandy, the bridges, and I've gone under enough bridges and look at them and say, wow, man, when are we, and even before Biden came up with the infrastructure package, you see them crumbling before your eyes. And mm-hmm. sometimes I'm hesitant to go under those things, although I don't have any other way, because you see, when they built these things, you got to give them credit. The people who put those things together and built them, even with as sturdy as they are, nothing's made to last forever.
Well, the resistance on taxes even goes to local, and lots of localities are having trouble with their infrastructure with water mains and water lines,
right,
and sewers and sewer systems and water treatment systems. All of this stuff has, Americans have gotten
shelf life.
Well, yeah, but we've gotten to the point where we are, we're like the landlord who decides to pocket the rent instead of maintaining the building, and then runs into some massive catch-up kinds of replacement costs instead of mere maintenance costs. You know, you have to replace the whole top of the building instead of just the roof. Because you weren't taking care of the roof, it leaked, it all rotted. You know, deferred maintenance ends up being a big problem, and America has been deferring maintenance on many, many parts of its system, and primarily because of the deprivation of adequate revenue, adequate tax revenue to carry out their functions.
Yeah, a prime example is Milwaukee County Parks, and as beautiful as they still are and have been, we've got to try to get this stuff taken care of while we're still here.
Well, you remember that the Bradley building was torn down because they went in and inspected it and decided they had $90 million worth of deferred maintenance to do. The domes are in the process of being considered for being torn down because of deferred maintenance that wasn't done on the domes. And now the repair of it is going to be so substantially expensive that they're saying, wow, it's not worth it. There's plenty of examples of this. And so I think the wake-up call here is that this notion of simply being against spending money is foolish in the face of the need to be able to deliver competent government service. In fact, competent government service is usually more efficient than incompetent government service. That driving us in the direction of good business practices for our government is going to be a more efficient sort of government that actually delivers what it needs to deliver. You know, we had trouble distributing the checks that were going to go out during the Trump administration. They were going to deliver checks to everyone to stimulate the economy, and they had trouble just going through that process.
You know, they're having trouble in Milwaukee delivering mail, getting people, enough people to deal with it. The systems are breaking down, and we can't. These are all things, as you stated, that we've got to address now. You can't push it off any further on the back burner, because it's in the condition it's in, as you stated, because we've been pushing it.
Well, and I just think that this all came up because we were talking about the assault on government of taking money away from the IRS, which is sort of a most fundamental kind of way to tee that issue up. But, you know, I would hope that the business people of America, many of whom are probably self-declared Republicans, would take the position that our government ought to run as competently as our businesses, and that it is not wise to simply strangle the government of the capacity to conduct its business.
Do you think, Sandy, that sometimes we look at the government as the enemy, and because in many instances we act as though we don't need the government individually, but we sometimes don't realize all the different things that government does that makes our life better?
Well, ever since Ronald Reagan's, and obviously he was not the originator of this notion, but he was the one who manifestly presented it. It was, you know, Washington is the problem, it's not the solution. And then Grover Norquist, who was all about basically strangling government of taxes. And so, yes, I do think that there is a strong political movement in which basically the principle is that government is the enemy. Government's the problem. We need to take money away from the government. We need to make it as small as possible. We don't need competent government. In fact, we're better off with incompetent government that can't collect taxes or can't do what else it's supposed to do.
All right, so let's go here. Joe Biden and his papers.
Yeah.
Now, there's this continued debate that Democrats have shown hypocrisy in not handling this the same way that they've handled Donald Trump and what happened with him.
Well, you know, actually, now as of today, they are handling it the same way. They've appointed a special counsel. It's a special counsel that was a U.S. attorney appointed by Trump. to investigate this. So the investigation, I would say this, though, and I was struck by the news media coverage, and I know that a substantial number of conservatives take the view that the news media is inherently liberal and is and runs the, you know, against them. And I will say that I think the news coverage of this suggests a bias on the part of the news, because instead of simply reporting that they found all the documents, the news, before the Biden administration even came out with any sort of defense associated with explaining about the documents, the news media presented the theoretical defense for it, that, well, it's a different situation, it's a much more limited number of documents, the Biden administration has done this voluntarily, they didn't resist providing the documents to the Justice Department when asked, et cetera, et cetera. All of that is true, but the flavor of it, I think, does a disservice, because it sort of plays into the hands of the conservatives who want to point at the news media and say, see how they covered this? They're making the case on behalf of Biden, and when it happened to Trump, they made the case against Trump every time they covered it in the news. And some of that's true, because, you know, I think the news media does tend to beat the drum in whatever direction they think will be found most satisfactory by their readers. And so, you know, I simply think that the news media does itself a disservice, and actually does a disservice to the Biden administration by not simply handling this in the most straightforward way possible.
You know, as you stated, Merrick Garland has appointed special counsel.
Right.
And even though Republicans were requesting that, they certainly didn't hesitate to do it. Now, you know, I don't know what those documents were. I don't know what they said. And, you know, from what I hear from Republican talk radio is that the difference here is that Joe Biden didn't have the authority as a vice president to move any documents. I mean, it's ridiculous. And yet, you know, Donald Trump did. That's not a way to approach.
Well, I mean, I think it's clear that the politicians themselves will develop cases, and they'll develop arguments that are on their side or the other side. And I think the news media needs to cover whatever it is that's being said by these folks. And to the extent that the Biden administration has a defense that they want to present, the news media should cover it. My only point was, I think the news media should not spontaneously do these things, because it plays into the hands of the people who want to point at it and say, see, it's biased. And I think that one of the problems we have today is that we've lost trusted news media sources, because people on either side can point at it and say it's biased. We can point at Fox News and say it's biased, and it undoubtedly is, and it presents news in a biased fashion. With respect to the situation itself, we don't know what's in the papers. It's going to play itself out. The special counsel's been appointed, and sort of end of story until some more facts play out in it.
All right, got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlo at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
The city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they are not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Crute.
We are joined by the 57th Assembly District Representative, Lee Snodgrass. Thanks for being here.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
How do I need to adapt this based on what has changed since I first introduced it? Government does not move fast. I'm sure that's a shocker to all of you guys. Public policy doesn't change until public opinion changes.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, always on the Civic Media app.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Follow Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 30. Northerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows level off around 18 tonight, partly cloudy. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow, highs around 34. Upper 30s Sunday and Monday with a chance for scattered rain showers Monday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Oshkosh Air Support. 98.3 FM, WISS, 1100 AM. Right now, 26.
Berlin's choice for news talk and the Brewers is Oshkosh Air Support. 98.3 FM, WISS, 1100 AM.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Fridays with Sandy Williams. Let's go to CJ. CJ, good morning.
Earl and Sandy. It's Civic Radio Truth Detector, CJ. The mere fact that this was buried and kept quiet since November 2nd proves that this has not been treated the same as Trump's investigation, as Sandy wants to claim. The mere fact that the FBI, the archives, knew of this was buried. It was hush-hush, no leaks, and it planned to be until James Comer, the congressman, said he's going to investigate the archives. So Garland knew that this was going to be found out because the Republicans are coming for the truth. And the mere fact that Garland knew that the Republicans were going to find out about this, he had to appoint a special counsel. He had no plans to. But James Comer said Sunday night on the number one news network and the number one
Fox News
show.
You mean, right?
Yeah, for 25 years, Earl.
And Sean Hannity.
For 25 years.
Oh, okay.
James Comer was on Mark Levin's show, the number one news show on the weekend. You might want to watch it.
I know Comer well about Mark Levin.
Yeah, I'm sure you don't, because he's
I know about Mark Levin. Everything is to know
great.
About him.
He's wonderful, isn't he?
Yeah, well,
he's amazing.
CJ, what it does is it corroborates what I always thought about you, that you were disciples of Mark Levin
Yep.
Okay.
Truth Detector.
All right. So, is that it?
No, I want to hear Sandy's response about it being buried before the election since January second. How about that?
Actually, CJ, I don't quite understand your pointing at me about this. The context I put this in was I thought that the news media had done a disservice by handling it in a manner that was different than and essentially reflected bias. That was a disservice to the public because it essentially suggested a different handling of it. As to the timing and all these facts you described, I have no firsthand knowledge of any of them. All I said was that as of day before yesterday, when a special counsel was appointed, and incidentally, the special counsel that was appointed vis-a-vis Trump took a long time to get appointed as well. That this special appointment had occurred and that it was now going to be investigated in the same manner that the Trump situation was being investigated. I think to the extent that there's a difference in the way it's been handled, most of it reflects news media coverage and the extent to which the news media has been fascinated with one or the other. But in any case, I don't quite understand being so fired up about me and the assertions I've made and the notion of whether or not I need a truth finder, but in any case,
Mark Levin is the truth finder.
Well, I'm not sure that you and I, CJ, disagree that much. I do think the news media in this particular circumstance is doing a disservice to everyone, including the Biden administration, by handling it in a manner that seemed to be different. So that's all I have to say about it.
Let's give him one last shot at it, Connor.
Jay handled it.
What?
Sandy, you never referred to how the DOJ has handled it.
Well, CJ, I did because I don't know how they've handled it.
Neither does he.
And I don't know the facts. I don't know the underlying facts. Various people assert that they do.
But it didn't matter to you about the Trump administration. It didn't matter. He was guilty. Listen to the way Earl talks about it. Okay. Listen to the way you talk about it. Handle it differently.
Let me say this to you, CJ. What Trump was accused of and all the documents they were able to get their hands on, the FBI had to come and go through all of those documents. They knew what documents were missing. And the fact that Donald Trump refused to give them to him, that's a major difference. Whether you or anybody else thinks that it's not, it's a major difference. And so they had to threaten Donald Trump and send in people to force their way to get the documents back. That is a difference between, and whether you believe it or not, doesn't matter. It's just a fact. There's a difference. Now, whether or not Joe Biden and what happened with those documents that he has or had, we'll see. We'll soon see. But that doesn't absolve Sandy Donald Trump for what he did, does it?
No, but I mean, I don't think I've ever been wanting to jump on a bandwagon about whether something that was done was unlawful or not until the investigation's done and until they find out. You know, I think I was just as reserved about the Donald Trump situation as I am about this one, because that's the way I react to things that I don't know about. And I don't know what was in the documents, and I don't think the public does, because they're secret documents with respect to the ones that Trump has, as well as the ones that Biden has. And so I don't know what bandwagon you think that I was on, but I've never been on that. And I guess my view is that all of these things would be best reserved for the process that they're undergoing.
All right, we got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. It's Friday.
Oshkosh Air Support is 98.3 FM, WISS 1100 AM, from Ripon to Green Lake, your source for news, talk, and sports.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. Two batches of classified documents found in private locations connected to President Biden, now the focus of a Justice Department independent counsel investigation. One said found in the garage of Biden's Delaware home.
Well, it's incredible, actually, with all the talking that they did.
That's the reaction of former President Trump in an interview on the Mark Levin radio show Thursday. Trump also had classified documents found at his Florida estate and was forced to turn them over during a raid. And an update on the case of a 6-year-old boy in Virginia who shot his teacher in an elementary school classroom. The superintendent told parents in a town hall last night that the student's backpack was searched after they got a tip he may have had a weapon. The school district also says it will install metal detectors at all of its schools, not just middle and high schools, after the shooting. This is ABC News.
The Fox River Valley's home for News Talk and the Brewers. Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, WISS 1100 AM. Always on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matner with your headlines. There may be a partial solution to the problem of affordable housing in Wisconsin. Since the 1960s, local governments have zoned many districts to be exclusively for single-family homes. Executive Director of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, Jerry DeShane, tells Wisconsin Public Radio tweaking these codes could help solve the housing crisis because offering flexibility for multifamily housing units and mixed-use housing developments would address many issues. More money being invested in helping Wisconsin veterans and their families. Governor Evers and Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs Secretary James Bond announced grant awards to provide financial assistance, entrepreneurship training, and other services to improve employment opportunities. Universities, homeless assistance organizations, and veteran centers were among the recipients of the $420,000 in grants. You're listening to the Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, WISS 1100 AM.
You wanted information as election results rolled in, and the Civic Media Network of radio stations delivered it live.
I was so impressed with your coverage, and I listened to you guys, and I got all the coverage. It was amazing.
Civic Media, the only network with news reporters and show hosts stationed across Wisconsin, sharing political insight not found anywhere else. Elections or anytime, we are here for you, your local Civic Media radio stations, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Suddenly, my quarterback is the number one trending topic. Why, you might ask, is Aaron Rodgers trending on Twitter? He's out this game. He's got COVID-19. And to my perception, he freaking lied to us, man. I'm very frustrated that he is not eligible to play this Sunday, especially when you find out your quarterback is a half a Trumpster. And he claims, I'm not a flat earther. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I just play one in the NFL. That pisses me off, man. I was going to bet on that team. Maybe. New time, 3 to 6 p.m. and Dom.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underlie said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is you've never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
What is dadication?
I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dadication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov.
You can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Fridays with Sandy Williams and Sandy. Ukraine. It's, you know, are things just ramping up even more? The fact that we're now bringing troops, Ukrainian troops, into this nation, into our country, to be trained to operate these Patriot systems and others. Do you think that changes in the mind of Russia? Changes, and this is an escalation in some way, shape, or form in their minds?
Well, it could be. We have been training, and we had been training Ukrainians in this country and in Ukraine on a on military maneuvers and military procedures, both before February 24th last year and after. So we've been doing this, but now we're doing this on a bigger basis because it takes, there's more training involved, apparently, with the Patriot missiles and how you operate the Patriot missiles in an integrated military movement kind of a thing. So this does constitute a larger scale of training. We, you know, what Russia will view as an escalation is, I think, depends. And it really depends probably on how things are going on the battlefield for Russia.
Well, we know they're not going well.
Well, they aren't going well, but I think that's, they're going maybe the way war goes, you know, which is when you get into a war like this, where there is, in fact, effective and organized resistance, like Ukraine is putting up, you end up with a war that doesn't happen overnight. It's not a blitzkrieg. It ends up being an actual extended war. And the thing I've been concerned about is that Russia does have the wherewithal, at least, whether it has the will, it definitely has the wherewithal to fight an extended war and to win it. Its logistical problems are less than ours in terms of keeping themselves armed. The sanctions have made it somewhat more difficult for them to rebuild their armaments. And I think what we've created is something closer to equal in the combatants as between Russia and Ukraine. But if you have equal combatants who both have a will, you can end up with a very long and extended war with many losses. Ukraine has suffered many losses in the Donbas region. Russia has suffered many losses. Both of them are apparently still at it and are committed to the combat. And so, and as I've said before, I am concerned that if Ukraine shifts its gears towards Crimea and Sevastopol, which they have periodically suggested they might do, we could find Russia's reaction to that to be very extreme. And I'm not saying extreme in terms of their reaction towards the NATO nations in terms of extending the war there, but I think it could be much more extreme in terms of the way they carry out the combat. You know, it might become much more like what has been happening in the regions of the Donbas right now, where the war is ongoing, where it's turned into complete ruination. You know, there's been extended shelling, extended artillery, and it is essentially reduced to rubble.
You know, Sandy, you kind of pointed this out going back 7-8 months ago, that you can't discern who's telling the truth about what's happening day to day on the battlefield. Remember, you?
Oh yeah.
You clearly said they're going to fabricate both sides.
Well, like I said, the day war starts, truth ends, and that's been the case always. That both sides in a combat have their own version, which is basically propaganda designed to discourage the other side about what it is that's happening.
So here we are, and I think a lot of us, especially the American citizens, underestimate, even though Russia's really, this has been a battle that they never expected to this degree, that we underestimate who they really are as far as their military, because it's not like they're fighting in America where they got to come across the ocean.
Right.
And they're right on a landmass.
Well, and the other thing is that at least there are those who believe, and apparently Putin has believed, that this war is an existential matter. It isn't, this is not a territorial kind of a building of an empire as much as it is something that they believe that Ukraine, being its historic neighbor, being an historic part of the empire that has been Russia since the Romanovs, I think there's a view that for Russia, Ukraine and its independence from NATO is an existential matter. If it's an existential matter, they are willing to go to war about it for a very long time, just as we would if we believed that the existence of the United States was being put at risk, as we did in Cuba, and as we would undoubtedly do in some other circumstances. So if that's the view that Russia has of this, first of all, our behavior with respect to inviting Ukraine into NATO before the conflict started was at least thumbing our nose at that view that Russia had. And then if Russia, it does in fact have that view and holds that view, then their willingness to conduct this war over a long period of time should not be discounted.
You know, Sandy, this article in Newsweek, former Soviet Union countries are our territory, Russian academic says. Don't lose sight that these were our territories at one point in time. I guess that doesn't justify the fact that ended for a while, but they've never forgotten that these were our territories, and probably Sandy had always romanticized about getting those territories back. And at the same time, we have, on the other side of that, not wanted them to get those territories back.
Well, I think we were somehow sort of titillated by the notion of having NATO expand into all of those republics that had exited the Soviet Union and to isolate Russia in the fashion of spreading NATO to these various locales like Ukraine, and of course we have done it with respect to Estonia, Lithuania. The situation for Russia looks much different than the way we view it, and it, to some extent, the behavior we've had with respect to expanding NATO has created a self-fulfilling prophecy of threatening Russia to the point where apparently they felt compelled to attack Ukraine, which, of course, in retrospect, we can look at it and say, see, we needed to have NATO because Russia was going to attack Ukraine. But that ignores the proposition that in all likelihood, Russia attacked Ukraine because we were essentially talking to Ukraine about becoming a part of the EU and part of NATO, which so Russia found very threatening.
So Sandy, so that having been the case, Russia is not ever going to give up the belief that those are once their territories, and that they still romanticize about bringing it all back together.
Well, romanticize is to probably diminish, in fact, how they think. I think their thinking is that
survival.
Survival, that it's existential, that it's right. It's the way we felt when Russia was putting missiles in Cuba, okay? They weren't attacking the United States, but they were creating this capacity to have missiles 90 miles offshore, which we found to be very threatening because those missiles would get to the United States in a nanosecond, and we would not be subject to being able to defend them in a manner. So, Russia has the same issue with respect to missiles in Ukraine, right? They're right there, 200 miles from Moscow. They're there in a nanosecond, and so we have to understand how different nations look at different situations, look at it differently than we look at those same situations. And we also have to probably project and say, how would we look at that situation? Where were the shoe on the other foot? But, you know, none of this sanctifies an invasion of another country. Quite frankly, the placing of missiles in Cuba would not have sanctified our use of missiles to fire at Russia preemptively in that circumstance either, because, you know, we weren't, in fact, being invaded in that circumstance. And so the under international law, we really didn't have a justification, wouldn't have had a justification for doing what the sword rattling that we were doing. International affairs doesn't really operate under rules. It operates under tacit kinds of understandings of power and counterpower. And quite frankly, I think that, that what's happening in Ukraine right now is the result of miscalculations about those factors. And we do have Russia then violating international law by carrying out the invasion. It doesn't really go all the way to the point of explaining why it happened and what the proper outcome is. But my point about the willingness of Russia to conduct this war for a long time is really, I think they'll conduct it as long as their government remains in place and they don't end up with a vacuum. I think there are some who look at Russia and view there a danger that if Putin were, if this war were to exhaust his support in Russia such that he would no longer be a viable autocrat of Russia, there would be a vacuum. And I think some people are just as frightened of what that vacuum would look like as they are of what how Putin is behaving now. It's not, we have no idea who would replace Putin in the circumstance of a vacuum.
So the Russian people, we don't hear a lot from them as far as whether or not they're in support of their government. More times than not, they are. They're going to be in support of their government more so than they are opposed to it, especially in the communist environment.
I think our CIA, and I think that there has been polling done that's trusted. I think the fact is that the Russian people were substantially in support of what Putin is doing, and that they are substantially in support of Putin. I think that his call up of the reserves eroded some of that. There were maybe 300 or 350,000 young men who left Russia so they could avoid the call up. And all of that obviously has a detrimental effect on support in the country. But I think it's a pipe dream for the United States to think, and it should definitely not be a part of our foreign policy, that it's the job of the United States to carry out a foreign policy that will unravel the Putin administration and cause him to be replaced.
You know, though, Sandy, it is to me just watching it, not just from the perspective of an American, but from the perspective of, you know, the fact that we keep making this commitment. We've made a commitment, and we're not going to turn around, and we're going to continue to escalate it because we're moving step by step by step, Sandy, to our entanglement in this that we can't get out. You know, early on, we weren't going to send the tanks and those kind of things, and we weren't going to send the planes, and we weren't going to do this, and we weren't going to send the Patriots. We weren't going to do any of those things. Guess what, Sandy? We have.
Yeah.
And we keep moving more and more and more into us being involved.
Well, I think we have not sent planes. And I think what we have avoided doing is sending weapons that have the reach to extend into Russia to any substantial degree to cause damage to the Russia homeland.
And the Russian people.
And I think that's the red line we seem to have drawn and have abided by.
Listen, we've got to go to a break. Jacob, I see you. We'll come to you after the break. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back.
Did you know your favorite shows and hosts are active on social media too? Find Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and be part of the conversation happening there. And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
They were going to show a video of Roger Stone recorded by Danish filmmakers.
Just Google Roger Stone Monopoly Man.
You remember the old Batman TV series? He looks like the Penguin.
It's like a bad costume for A Christmas Carol.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And I know that firsthand because I was in that every year as a kid. Always a street urchin, never a Cratchit.
That needs to be the title of your autobiography. Always a street urchin, never a Cratchit.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Always on the Civic Media app.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun this afternoon with a high of 30. Winds out of the north, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows level off around 18 tonight. Partly cloudy skies. A mix of clouds and sun tomorrow, 34. Upper 30s, Sunday and Monday, with a chance for scattered showers, Monday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, WISS, 1100 AM. Right now, 26.
Oshkosh Air Support, from the home of the largest fly-in in the world. We are 98.3 FM and WISS, 1100 AM.com.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. It's Fridays with Sandy Williams. Let's go to the phone lines and Jacob. Hey, Jacob, what's going on? You say what?
Hey, Earl, I just got to respond to these right-wing callers who cannot stop talking about how sorry everyone should feel for Donald Trump, because Trump is so mistreated. He's such a nice guy. He's never done anything wrong in his life. You know, he took those thousands of top secret documents home with him, you know, just by accident, right? You know, they wanted Joe Biden to be impeached, but Donald Trump, they had no problem with that at all. But Donald Trump, just, you know, don't even ask any questions of our you know, cult leader, of our wannabe dictator. You know, these guys like CJ want to brag about Fox News being the number one rated news network. First of all, it's not news. It's propaganda. Second, just because they have every idiot in America watching their TV shows there on Fox News doesn't make it a credible source of information. When guys like CJ want to bring up Fox News as their credible source of, you know, why Joe Biden should be impeached and why Donald Trump is completely innocent and, oh, he's the most persecuted man in American history. Give us a break. Most Americans aren't nearly as stupid as CJ.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. You know, Sandy, this continued battle, you think we're entering into, is it safe to say we're entering into a time where the negotiations should begin? Early stages.
Yeah, I mean, my view is that there undoubtedly are back channel negotiations ongoing. That those usually happen relatively soon after a conflict starts, and I think the difficulty is that Americans. I was listening to your show yesterday, and Joel McNally, an old friend of mine, but I heard in him the enthusiasm of an old cold warrior about the notion that we were supporting Ukraine. And that Ukraine deserved our support and that they were fighting the good fight against Russia and we should hang in there and that they were going to win the war, et cetera. And I'm afraid that all of that thought process we have, number one, is colored by our view of the Cold War, and two, it's colored by the notion that somehow we should help Ukraine reduce itself to rubble in a contest with Russia in which the outcome undoubtedly is going to involve something that looks very much like the outcome that would have occurred without that war occurring if they had carried out negotiations before the invasion. I mean, I think the one way it will change is that I don't think the Zelensky government's going to have to step down, but I think that all the parties are going to agree that Ukraine won't join NATO. I think that Crimea and Sevastopol will be recognized as being part of Russia after the 2014 accession of that by Russia. And then I think the issue will be exactly what part of the Donbass is treated differently than the rest of Ukraine and what happens there, which is what was at issue before the invasion.
So let me ask you, Sandy, is this a precedent now with our nation that, let's say, Taiwan and China, that, you know, this is what we'll do, we'll militarily supply, these types of nations? And
well, if the problem there is that we will have to militarily supply Taiwan, not with just with weapons, but a huge inventory of weapons, because if there were to be a war with China, China will very successfully blockade this island of Taiwan and make it impossible for supplies to be brought into Taiwan from outside of Taiwan. So it is an absolutely untenable in the long term. If there were to be a battle over Taiwan with China, it's an untenable kind of a situation unless we were willing to attack mainland China or to otherwise change the field of battle from simply Taiwan. And our long-term foreign policy over the past period wouldn't support and wouldn't be consistent with us actually going to war over Taiwan. We've talked about helping Taiwan, about supplying Taiwan, but that proxy war would not last very long. It wouldn't have anything like the duration that we currently have ongoing with Ukraine.
You know, Sandy, when you hear many Republicans who are basically saying we shouldn't be there, which is surprising to me.
That we shouldn't be where?
Supporting Ukraine.
Yeah.
That's a surprise to me. I don't know what their rationale is from that perspective, because, you know, they think that it's financially we're spending money that could be better used. What is their thought process?
Well, I don't necessarily disagree with them very much. I think that the situation in Ukraine wouldn't have to be what it is if we had not behaved as we did over the period beginning in 2012. And proceeding forward to 2022. And I think a number of actions that we took resulted in reactions, which ultimately resulted in the invasion. The approach of simply deciding that because there's a war there, we're going to throw as much munitions and money into it on the side of Ukraine as they want or need is without analyzing the situation. And my analysis of the situation is that the outcome is not going to justify the notion that we're going to expend all of that national treasure, help Ukraine be reduced to rubble, and have an outcome that is not really altogether different than the outcome that could be achieved at any moment in time.
So let me ask you, the fact that it's certain aspects of it have been reduced to rubble, with the kind of debt our nation is carrying, how are we then going to be able to financially support the rebuilding?
Well, I mean, the problem with warfare is that the costs of it are so much larger than the cost of each day at war. There is the aftermath of the war. There's the cost, you know, when we are actual participants in war, there's the cost of our veterans. There's the cost of the dislocations that occur. In this particular case, we have the costs associated with the inflation that arose, the recession in Europe, the general economic issues. But we will also have a rebuilding problem for Ukraine, which, quite frankly, can't be done easily be done on a charitable basis. I mean, its cost is probably a mountain compared to the $100 billion or so that we've invested there already. So there's a mountain of cost, and the country will not be, its infrastructure will be so damaged, and its economy will be so damaged that post-war it will be limping badly. So I'm just saying that we need to look at warfare in a much bigger sense.
All right, listen, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Friday. It means Fridays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
Breaking us down when they are.
miss our conversations on air? Join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Greenberg.